As an aside, while the great and influential pianist conductor Hans von Bülow did not understand Mahler's music, his admiration for Mahler the conductor was boundless. One evening, after a performance by Mahler at the opera, Bülow, who was seated in the very front row, continued to applaud loudly, apparently not having noticed that the rest of the audience had left. Mahler returned to the stage and bowed to von Bülow, who was at that point quite alone in the theater. Well, as we know, Mahler did not give up composing. Rather, he underwent a compositional renaissance in 1892, a rebirth spearheaded by the composition of songs with texts drawn from Des Knaben Wunderhorn. These songs would form the backbones of his next three symphonies, numbers 2, 3, and 4. And this is why these symphonies are often referred to as the Wunderhorn symphonies. It would seem that Mahler had become resigned to, quote, composing only for my library, unquote. Well, at least he was composing. During the summer of 1893, while on holiday at Steinbach, Mahler returned to symphonic composition for the first time in 5 years. Drawing on musical material sketched as far back as 1888 and working at a pace that genuinely endangered his health, Mahler composed in large part his Symphony No. 2 in C minor, known as the Resurrection Symphony. Consciously modeled on Beethoven's Symphony No. 9, yeah, no use aiming low, right? Mahler's Second Symphony is a huge, ambitious 5-movement work in which the 4th movement is a song from Des Knaben Wunderhorn, and the 5th movement, a grand and magnificent movement for vocal soloists, orchestra, and chorus. It was this last choral movement that gave Mahler pause. He needed a text, one appropriate to the spirit of the other movements. He ransacked the Bible, European and Eastern poetry, Eastern mystical and philosophical texts, but to no avail. Then, on March 29th, 1894, at Hans von Bülow's funeral, Mahler heard a setting of Theodor Klopstock's poetic ode, Resurrection, Auferstehen. It was a eureka moment. Mahler describes it, quote, "For a long time, I'd been considering the idea of introducing a chorus into the last movement, and only the fear that this might be interpreted as a servile imitation of Beethoven made me hesitate. Then von Bülow died, and I attended his funeral. The atmosphere in which I found myself and the thoughts I dedicated to the dead man were very much in the spirit of the work I was then carrying within me. All of a sudden, the choir, accompanied by an organ, intoned a setting of Klopstock's Resurrection. It was as if I'd been struck by lightning. Everything suddenly rose before me clearly. Such is the flash for which the Creator waits. Such is sacred inspiration," unquote. Having completed the symphony, Mahler was absolutely giddy with delight. On June 29th, 1894, he wrote his friend, Dr. Friedrich Lohr, quote, "This is to announce the auspicious birth of a strong, healthy last movement for the Second Symphony. Father and child are doing as well as can be expected. The latter is not yet out of danger. It is to be baptized with the name, the light that shineth in the darkness. Friends are asked for their silent sympathy. All flowers are gratefully refused. Other gifts, however, will be accepted," unquote. As we previously discussed, Mahler hated writing programs to accompany his symphonies. His attitude was that if you couldn't figure it out on your own, you had no right listening to his music. Kind of harsh, really, when you think about how complicated and personal his symphonies are. However, in capitals, however, Mahler made an exception to his own rule on December 14th, 1901, when he wrote out a program for his Second Symphony at the request of his brand new, 18 years younger than himself, already pregnant on the wedding day wife, Alma.
"Gustav, Gustav, mine little Judeo-Slavic huggy bear composer, you said you'd write me a program for the Second Symphony. You promised, you promised."
Well, we'll use the program Mahler prepared for Alma as we seek all too quickly to understand the large-scale dramatic flow of his Symphony No. 2. Movement 1, and I quote, "We are standing beside the coffin of a man beloved."